What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
Y'all better start hyping me up. All right, guys. Good morning, everybody. I'm so honored that you guys are here today. I just want to start by honoring just my family, just for their constant support. But I also just want to honor Pastor Paul, Pastor Glenn, Miss Belinda, Miss Casey, just for always believing in me, even whenever I didn't believe in myself. And there are some things that are in my life right now that wasn't necessarily evident in my life before. And so I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in because I only got 8 minutes and we're going to see if I'm going to get y'all out here on time. But as you know, well, you guys might not know, I've always grown up in church. And so I've always served the Lord in some kind of capacity, whether it was at this church or a church I was at previously. But I can't honestly say that God was real in my life. Like, if I could label what my life was like, it was a performance-based relationship. It was, I have to do this in order to gain God's forgiveness. I have to do this in order for God just to turn his head from what I did that week, because I, like, the struggle's real. But I want to bring y'all to a moment where it was real for me and God totally transformed my life. And that was when I was in college. And so most of us, we probably have similar stories. Like, whenever you get to this point, you grow up in church, you're on your family's faith. Right? You're in church, you're doing all the things because daddy or mommy told you to do so. But whenever I went to college, I was like, oh snap. Your girl is grown. I get to do whatever I want to do. No questions asked. And so I was excited about going to college because I was like, I can be somebody totally different, right? And so I'm going to let y'all know that was a very short celebratory period because life hit and hit hard. And so if you could think of anything that a person would do in college, I was doing it. I was straight up wilding, okay? I really was. It's embarrassing, some of the things that I was doing. But because I was so good at camouflaging my life and compartmentalizing, because I can mingle with the Christians, but I can mingle with the heathens as well. They would never know any differently. But I was so good at compartmentalizing myself, and to the point where no one knew who I was. Heck, I didn't even know who I was. All I know is that what I was doing was causing my heart to grieve, and I didn't understand why. I didn't know why things were so difficult. I didn't understand why I felt the way that I felt. Little did I know it was God pursuing me all along. And so I went through this period where I was super depressed. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was insecure, like opposite of the person that you see before you today. And I literally, because it was some things that I kind of got caught up in and somebody called me out on it and they were like, ooh, I'm going to tell the BCM president, like, you shouldn't be leading people in Christ and you living like this, like you fake, you all this and all this. And I literally thought I had no hope. I couldn't deal with the disappointment that I was, that like in the life that I was living. And so I attempted suicide. Snap. Oh, snap. She said the S word. And which is crazy because when you look at me, you don't think a person like me could be depressed or a person of me could feel like there's no hope, there's no way out. But I did what I thought was the only thing to do, and that was to take my own life. Now, obviously, it didn't work because I'm here, okay? And so I was sitting in class one day and God literally, I was mad at God. I was like, man, I tried this. It didn't work. Like, what I need to do? I need to read the fine print. Like, how can I make this happen? And it was like, in an instant, God took over and he showed me just images of people and the impact that I had on their life. And I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. And so with that being said, fast forward, I went to this Discipleship Now weekend at a church in Houghton, and literally that's when God met me at my lowest point. And so I'm sitting in the church, and there's these diner receipts that are on the chairs, and they literally are stamped paid. Now I'm thinking, what are we finna do? We finna play a game with this trash? Like, what we got going on? And literally, as the preacher began to speak, he said something that I've heard my entire life, but it totally rained heavy in a different kind of way. And he said, Jesus paid it all. Like, you are not too far gone to where God cannot grab you and take hold of your heart and lead you into the path of righteousness. And so literally from that moment on, it's been like it's just been a change. And so I want to leave you with three things, because I'm running out of time. But I want to leave you with three things that you can reflect on, because I'm not sure. Maybe some of this rained heavy on your heart and like you can identify that as well. Number one, your past nor the world has the authority to define who you are. And so there may be some things that you've gotten caught up in. And that's how the world tries to continue to label you. But you are not who you were. And so scripture says in Isaiah 43:18-19, stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember these former things. I am doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. Number two. You are not too far gone to where you are beyond God's reach, his love, and his grace. Isaiah 49:1 says, listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention. You who are far away, the Lord called me before birth from within the womb. He called me by name. Just like God called me by name, he is calling you by name. He is relentlessly pursuing each and every last one of you. So if there's something in your life and you just feel this nudge that God is calling you to turn the other direction, listen to him. Thankfully that he's the God that pursued Adam and Eve. He knew where they were in the garden, but how incredible was it that he called out to them? He cares. And so number three, anything God has done in your life is a story meant to tell. You know, I know some of us, there may be some things that are shared up here that maybe you haven't gone through personally, but do not belittle what you have walked through. Do not belittle the move of God in your life personally. Everybody has a different journey. Everybody has a different story to tell. Everybody has a different freedom at work in their life. And so Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when they were faced with death. Can I tell you, there is power in your words. Whenever God spoke things into existence, he did it with his words. And that same authority that he has, you possess it as well. So the things that are going on in your life, you can cause some things to change by just speaking it. And holding our mouths closed is not going to help someone else achieve their freedom. There are some things that you can say that are going to minister to some people. But if you keep your mouth closed, you're preventing them from doing that. And so I just want to encourage you. God is still working in my life. And none of these things are easy or I can walk away from or I'm just able to say I never struggle with them. No, I'm not going to say that. But I will say I am at a place to where I know how to take thoughts captive. And I know how to turn to the word of God. Because the word of God is what points me to truth. That was my bell. And so, all right. So, yeah. Amen.
Hey, everybody. The Resurrection Sunday. Are we happy? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. If somebody's here and you don't know why you're here, other than the baptism, you were here because God designed for you to be here. And to hear every word that you hear today. Yeah. It may not work today, but you're going to remember it tomorrow when you have that need and that quiet time. Oh, I'm on the clock. Let me go. Pastor, I want to honor you today and Ms. Belinda for being here. And honoring you for showing your steadfast love for the Lord. And through your showing that, you led us to see that we can have that same love. And Brother Paul, I want to thank you, and I'm glad you're here. And I wish Miss Casey was, but I know she's where she needs to be. But we thank you that, you know, you're taking us places that we might never have gone.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you for loving people.
Yeah.
Loving Living Word Church to the moon and back. That's what I have. Wait, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Okay, here we go. I've got 7 minutes and 13 seconds to tell you how I was healed. This is my story, okay? I might not be as eloquent as Carla, my buddy here, but I can tell you anyhow. I know my story. He did it for me. I wrote down notes, and I thought, what am I writing these for? You don't know it. I'm reading it to Buster coming to church, and he said, are you going to read that like that? I thought, no, I'm not going to read it like that, but I got to keep on track because I'm a storyteller, and I may be off yonder chasing another rabbit. But the rabbit I'm on chasing today, my story starts in 1999. I was 45 years old, and Buster and I had been married for 27 years, and our daughter was 25, and we had one grandchild, Corey, who was nine. So I had a lot of love to give and a lot of life to live yet. My health began to go bad. How about that? It started being really not good. And the thing I want to tell you about this, I was sick for about 6 months before it was addressed by the doctor. But I want you to know that Pastor, he didn't know the health that I was in. I didn't share the details with him. And I know those of you who really know me know that was a miracle that I didn't share. But I'm trying to stay on track here, y'all. It was a Sunday, and Pastor was at the altar. He was ministering, and he sent for us to come to the altar that the Lord had a word to speak to us. And I was in toddlers, and someone came and got me, and here I came out, and we came forth, and Pastor began to expound to us the word of God, telling us that there was a battle there being waged against us, and that we had to fight. We had to fight and be strong. Don't waver. Oops. So, I want to read you exactly what I wrote. He said, I was surprised, but was ready for God's instruction. And when Pastor told us then, the way to be strong is in His Word. And we were ready to fight. And the battle belongs to the Lord. That was the one thing that I could hear and knew, that the battle belonged to Him, and He was taking care of it. But we had no idea what the battle was. Well, the following Sunday, Pastor sent for us again to come to the altar. Now, it was getting real. It's two Sundays in a row he's brought us up here to speak to us. And it was getting real. What the Lord said and spoke through Pastor was that the battle was against me. And Buster and I are one, so it was against we. But it was happening to me. And the battle, what was being sent was to destroy me, to kill me. But the Lord told me that I would die, that He would bring me through, and He would heal my body. So I could stand on that because Pastor taught us all these years how to stand on His Word. But I would love to say that I never got a little weak, doubted a little bit, not God, doubted myself. And we get, you know, where we shouldn't be. Well, I was scheduled for surgery. Oh, Jesus. I was scheduled for surgery in about a week. And the surgery came. And when they brought me back to my room, well, being a woman, I felt my tummy to see what went on there. I knew what was supposed to have gone on. But there was no incision. I didn't feel anything. And so I asked Buster what happened, he said, well, the doctor's going to come around later and do rounds, and he's going to sit down and talk to us and tell us about what's happening. So the doctor came around later, and he was not one who gave me any hope. He told me that when they went in to do the surgery, laparoscopically at first, that they were starting that way, and they took pictures and stuff. Anyway, what he said was is that he had had lots of experience in this, and what he saw was cancer, and that he told me that women at that stage normally did not live. So I had no, living and hearing the words from him, I had no hope, you know. And then the devil begins to come in and start worming himself in there, you know, trying to cause you to start doubting and to start getting off into your own feelings instead of standing in God's feelings. And I remembered that God told me to stay strong and fight. And strength comes from God, His word and His promises. I didn't have any idea what I might have to do in this battle. I didn't know. I know the fight was God's, but I didn't know what would happen. I'd seen lots of women with cancer, and I didn't know what I'd have to go through. The next day, or shortly after that, I went to the doctor, to the oncologist. He sent me to the oncologist that day, over the next morning, and when I saw the oncologist, she was precious, and she told me, did all these tests and stuff, and then she told me, she took my hand before I left, and she said, "Do you read the Bible?" She was a young woman, and I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And she said, "Well, this is what I would want you to do, is to go home, read your Bible, pray, and laugh a lot." Well, I didn't have any trouble with that. Yeah. And so I sat around the house watching Lucille Ball, and you know, it was 1999, so it was safe to watch sitcoms then. The real surgery day came, and the surgery was done, and she kept me for about 5 days waiting for the results to come back. And the last test that came back was from the Mayo Clinic, and she sat down with me, and she told me that, read the report, and she said that it was positive for ovarian cancer in the left ovary. And she said, "But this is your miracle. This is a miracle." Mm-hmm. When she did the surgery, that what she saw was, and what she removed was, it looked like little bitty pebbles, tiny, tiny little pebbles, and black dust all in my body. Oh my God, He's our rock. Yeah. He's our rock. Yeah. And that's what I always think, that He is my rock. No wonder it looked like rocks. And I was healed. And they said that I required no treatments. Yeah. That it was a miracle of God. Yeah. And that's actually written. Yes, indeed. That's actually written on the paper she gave me. But something I forgot to tell you in a hurry, real fast, Brother Paul, is that I got off into a pity party when I came back from the doctor. It was a couple of weeks, actually, before the surgery was scheduled. And all I could do was think about what's happening and what's growing inside of me. You know, I know God's taking care of it, but is it still there? Is it gone? And then my friends began to come, my family loving on me and, you know, nurturing me. And if it be God's will, and I got so off into that pity for myself. Yeah. And surely I'm supposed to brag to somebody, "I got cancer," you know. But after a couple days, Buster said, "That's it. No more company, no more phone calls. They cannot tear you down. So you get weak. God said what He's done, but He's told us to fight. And you got to get up, and you got to fight. You can't be passive." So that's what happened. And so when I went into surgery, that was my results. And I want to read you these scriptures, and then I'll sit down. In Psalms 27, this is one of the chapters, or in Psalms that Buster, he would leave me scriptures every day after that and say, "Read this. Read this and pray." And so I did. But in Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14, it says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Yeah. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Yeah.
So I do challenge you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To wait on him, not friends. They can't catch you far.
Amen. Amen. That's so good. So good. So many things I want to say about both of those things, but you know, I don't want to just belabor the point. But I'm telling you, being a person of faith matters, and having a community of faith around us matters. But one of the other things that really matters, and you said this yesterday when we were kind of walking through and just part of the testimony, but you know, one of the things is I used to hear an old preacher used to say this all the time, but you got to put the word of God in you when you don't need it, so it'll be there when you do. You know, many of us treat God like a 911 call. And living a life, it says the just shall live by faith. We don't stumble upon it. We don't work it up. It comes by his word. It comes from really living that life so that it may at the time feel like, man, I'm good. But when trouble comes, there's something that rises up from the inside. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.